to be in your presence. That's where I want to be.
Let's open our Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 3. I was going to start in chapter 4, but I was like, there's so many good little things we got to hop on here. This know, chapter 3, verse 1, that in the last days, it's going to be your best life now.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, I've heard that.
And you can dream and have whatever you want. And you can have whatever you say. And, I mean, wow. Perilous times shall come. Okay, who are you going to believe? Are you going to believe what you're hearing is popular? Or are you going to be hearing what the Bible says? He says, perilous time. Just turn on your TV. I don't recommend it anymore, but wow, it's perilous times. And the flooding and all the things that are happening all over the world, it is perilous times. The good news is God's told us. He's given us a book that's not going to fail. And now what the enemy wants us to do is put our confidence in other things. And we're going to talk about that today. We're going to talk about what is the new apostolic reformation. A few years ago, you guys will remember, a preacher minister wanted to meet with us and tell us about this. And I really wasn't interested. I was like, he goes, this is global. And I said, well, I haven't heard of it. And this is the thing. Because it's happening, you might not have heard the name, but I want to tell you the fruit. Because they're not going to come out and say, this is what we are. But you're going to see that this is a movement that hasn't just started, but it's been in the foundation for a long, long, long time. And I've spent most of my life in these movements, and now the rest of my life I'm going to spend coming out of these movements and repenting for some of the preachers that I've quoted through the earlier years of my ministry, because when you're first saved, you don't know anything, and you just assume these preachers are telling you truth, right? And, of course, they know the Bible and you don't, so you're very hungry. It's like, I have a little bird's nest outside, four little birds there, and every time they open, no, I'm not going to feed you. But we're like that spiritually. We're so hungry, and people just want to feed you, and if you don't know truth from error, you're just going to let anything go in. Well, we have to discern, and today, people are not warning. I try to get off of this message, trust me. I wanted to preach on the hardening of the heart. I had all these notes, nothing. So, I mean, I have to go with what God gives me, right? Because this is a day that if you don't know what's happening in these movements and in these churches, you are going to be sucked away. And it's happening, and it's little steps by little steps, but I even think now it's not even so much little. I mean, it's huge deception. So perilous times are coming, not just in the world, but also in the church. Everyone say in the church?
In the church.
All right, so men shall be what? Lovers of their own selves. Messages are all going to be about you. How you're the blessed and you're this and you're that. And very little about God. It's a lot about you. Covetous. Some of the most braggadocious people I know are on television bragging. One man, you might know him, bragged about he had 26 chandeliers in his house, and every one was probably more expensive than your car. And I thought, and do we care? This is covetousness and boasting and thinking that because I'm so prosperous, God's with me. But I'm telling you, God's against covetousness. I preached on covetousness. That's usually the most unlike message that people are funny, and I want to give you a warning. Don't go by my messages with just titles. I cover a lot of things under my titles because I've learned if you put the truth out there sometimes in your title, although today I'm going to put Beware of the New Apostolic Reformation. A lot of people don't want to listen to that because, well, I don't know what that is. But you have no idea that you're in the midst of it. And we want to get into that today. So all these different things, he said, they're going to have a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. And then it says here in verse 2, preach the word. It doesn't say preach stories. It doesn't say just talk about other things. Preach the word. And instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Well, guess what? We're here. But they, after their own lusts, tell me what this world tells me I can have. You can have everything now. God's given you 7 steps to get what you want. Write your own ticket with God. Guess what? This has been going on since, for me, it's been in the 70s. Have faith in your own faith. But it says they're going to endure sound, not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall heap. Not just have one or there, but there's going to be, you know what a heaping table, a heaping portion is? Kind of like what you eat. It's a lot. They're going to have heaping teachers on top of them. In other words, it's not going to be one here and there, but it's a broad way. Many, many teachers are coming. What they're going to what? Tickle your ears. They're going to turn you away, their ears from the truth, and they shall be turned unto fables, things that are not real. So we have to know this is the day, this is the hour that it says they're going to increase in verse 13 of chapter 3, 13. But evil men and seducers shall what? They're going to wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. They're deceived and they're also deceiving. Did some people start off right? You know what? Only God knows. We're not the judge. We're not here to attack anyone, but we are here to test doctrines. We have to know what we are standing on. And a lot of this stuff, some of the things I want to share today, we're going to continue right where we left off last week from this testimony, because this some of these testimonies are so powerful, and people online have wanted this book, so I want to, 2 books that I want to advertise. I get nothing from them, but just so that you can buy them yourself. They're only like $6.99 on Amazon. I ordered Narrow as the Way, Have You Really Found It? And they sent this book with it, free of charge. Beware of the New Apostolic Reformation. So maybe Mark can put these on the bottom so you guys can see. This is really important because this New Apostolic Reformation is not new. It's under a new title, but it comes actually if you do the study of the Latter Rain movement, and it was rejected, but now it's accepted, and now it's going forward in supernatural schools of ministry. Now we have a mixture of not just the Kundalini spirit, but the occult, and people think that this is the power of God. And so if we aren't going to warn people, and this is a thing, a true leader will warn, even if it's not popular, even if you lose people, a true shepherd warns of wolves. And someone told me, said, well, I'm just going to preach the word. Well, there, you know how much the Bible says about beware of false prophets? It talks about beware of false teachers. If you're not warning people of that, then you're not preaching the whole word. And even though this is not a popular thing, somebody's got to do it, right? Because people need to know that the way is getting broader, but it's not what God says. It's what man is saying and adding to it. So this book by Barbara Hassel, there's 9 testimonies in here, and they've all been affected by the Word of Faith and the New Apostolic Reformation, because now it's morphing into another, dovetailing into many ministries. This is not a fringe movement. This is global. So a couple of things I wanted to share is the reason why they wrote this booklet. It's 9 people from different parts of the world that have been affected by these movements, that it's destroyed their families, it's destroyed their health. They thought they were standing in faith and they didn't take some of their kids to the doctor. Things have happened to people that they thought they weren't in faith and they didn't realize they were denying their reality. They were not walking in faith. They were walking in foolishness. They were walking in the occult, and they were actually manipulating and trying to force things, which is witchcraft. Oh, isn't that wonderful? All in the name of God. So they wrote this booklet. We are 9 born-again believers from 3 countries. We all love the Lord Jesus. We've all been exposed to the New Apostolic Reformation. And we've collectively gotten together to discern that this is very popular now in the body of Christ, and it's growing huge in magnitude. But it is a false move of God because it does not adhere to the teachings of Jesus Christ, the Holy Scriptures, or the Apostles' teaching contained in the book of Acts. We all have great concerns for thousands of sincere believers who are either unaware or deceived, who remain in these NAR churches around the world. So we're going to give you some of the fruits. What is this New Apostolic Reformation? It's a new name, but it's really the same false doctrine that's been around for a long time. And what are the fruits? The Bible says you shall know some of these teachings, how? These false prophets, by their fruit. Pride, lust, greed, so many other different things kind of have formed around these movements. And when you're deceived and you're caught up in these movements, do you know what you do? You defend these leaders with your life because you think they're God's man. So when you get a warning, what do? You shut off the messenger that's trying to warn you. That's what we did. People used to try to warn us back in the day. You're off into kind of a cultish movement. Oh, no, they've heard from God. They've seen Jesus. They've went to heaven. So who are you to tell us? Well, years later, we come back and go, they weren't so dumb after all. They were trying to warn us. But we got into these movements thinking that we were following the Lord. And the purpose of this book is to not attack. It's to explain and give people's testimonies of they came out of this. And thank God we've also come out. One of the things that the New Apostolic Reformation believes is that we no longer accept the idea that society will get worse and worse because we now believe that God's mandate is to transform society so it gets better and better. Who are you going to believe? Those that say it's going to get better and better, or what we just read that says what? Perilous times are going to come and it's going to get worse and worse. When you're delusional, you're thinking one thing and you're not facing reality. This was Oscar from England, and he said that he started off in a church and it looked so great, it looked so promising, it was great worship, just simple worship, worshiping God, and good teaching. Years later, he said he looked back and it was such a different church. He said, what happened to it? And this is what we're hearing. I'm hearing from the people that write me, they can't find a church anymore that just preaches the Bible without all this extra add-ons. And last week we talked about we're not supposed to add to or take away. And the New Apostolic Reformation adds on. What are they adding on? It's a new apostle. It's the apostles are going to run these things. And really, the church is no good. If you're just a pastor and you're not under one of these apostles, you're going to be sitting on the sidelines because this is the day of the apostle and the prophets. And the whole thing is they're bringing in new revelations that they're saying they're hearing from God. They're taking trips to heaven from their couches or wherever they go, and you can't come against what they're saying because, after all, it's their trip to heaven. And they're telling little children now in these schools how to have field trips and go to heaven. This is happening all over, and they're using some of these supernatural churches or school of ministries globally to put these churches in place. This is the new church. So we better know what it is because it might not be affecting you, but it will affect your grandchildren. Guaranteed, this is what they're facing. So he said, what came in and what came out? Out went supplication, making requests in prayer. In other words, sacrificing our lives, being humble, asking things to the Lord in prayer. And what came in? Declarations. We declare, we tell God what to do because our words are so powerful. And behind all of these doctrines is the little God doctrines. You are a God. The whole thing about if you don't get this, you're going to miss what's coming because this actually started in the Word of Faith movement that you are God's. And as you start thinking you can just declare and decree. Well, what happens? You live long enough and you find out that doesn't work. You find out you can speak to your body all you want. And guess what? It gets gray. It wrinkles. You got to get glasses. Hello, because the outward man perishes. The inward man's renewed day by day. But these things are not real. And many of these preachers that preached on this died themselves with some of the very sicknesses that they declared that they had authority over. What is that? Check out the fruit. The Bible says, by their fruits, you're going to know this. What? Deception. Deception. We got to check the fruit. Some of us have lived long enough now to go through some of these movements and say, scratching your head, what's wrong? Something is wrong with this whole movement. So we came humbly trying to seek God. Now we're bossing the Holy Spirit around. We're telling him what to do, where to go. Okay, so he saw this happening in his church. So what happens, it leaves God out of the conversation and takes the focus away from him, and it puts it on your faith. You have to have faith in your faith. Ever heard a book by that? Mm-hmm. Famous author, have faith in your faith. No, I have faith in the Lord, thank you. I don't have faith in myself. Out went evangelism and making disciples. communicating the biblical gospel to non-believers. Now you don't have to tell them they're sinners. You just invite them to church, and we have a mixed multitude. We don't want to offend them. We don't tell them they're sinners. We just have them pray a prayer. And what happens? They don't make Jesus Lord. We're here to make Jesus Lord of our lives, right? So out went evangelism, and in came just great motivational speakers. And guess what? We've had some of the best motivational speakers we could have ever had. And that's part of the deception right there, because it's such great speeches. And, oh, wow, that was so awesome, telling you how great you can be and all your gifts and talents and your dreams and all this. What about God's dream of getting people saved? That kind of goes in the back burner, doesn't it? In came mysticism and the occult practices. Now, I'm going to get into that a little bit more today. Occult stuff came in, and we thought it was the supernatural. If you don't have a good foundation, all of a sudden these other things are going to get blurred, and all of a sudden you're going to attribute things to God, but it's really not God. And that's why the Bible says we're not to be talking to the dead. Necromancy is talking to the dead. And they're saying, oh, well, you know, these people didn't die. They just went on to be with the Lord. So they're not. They twist scriptures to make it so confusing. And if you don't know your Bible, you're going to be deceived in this last day, because you're going to be listening to a half-truth. But how many know a little leaven, it leavens up the what? The whole lump. So in came mysticism. And they said, the whole Alice Bailey, which we've been talking about, said that they're going to move through the churches. If you're not a mystic in the end times, you're not going to have a church. They will totally roughshod over you. You will be left in the dust. You have to be a mystic. You have to bring encounters to people. It's very important that they have their own encounter with God. Okay, so they're all bringing in all these experiences. In came the culture. Influence in the culture was very, very important. And even around here now, their preachers are preaching on the Seven Mountains Mandate, okay? This is part of the New Apostolic Reformation. We're going to get into this a little bit later. Out went testing and using discernment. Nobody discerns anymore. And in came what? Touch not the anointed. Don't you dare touch the anointed. Well, guess what? The Holy Spirit lives in you, and you're anointed too. In came false prophecies, but it didn't matter, because they say, well, you know, you have to step out, and you have to just, you know, we'll put you through a school, and we'll teach you how to prophesy. Don't worry about if you miss it. Well, that's not what they said in the Old Testament. Because you're messing with people's lives when you're prophesying. Amen. Out went reality. And I was thinking about this. And I've been totally guilty of all of the above. I remember preaching, what was it, 15 years ago maybe? Maybe 10 years ago. I don't know how long it was. And all of a sudden, in the middle of my message, my eye kind of went weird. We were taught now in the Word of Faith, you don't face reality. You're healed no matter what. Nothing bad can really happen. You know why? You're entitled.
That's right.
We're narcissists. Yeah, we're king's kids. We're queens. And all of a sudden, my eye got half full of water. And I thought, well, that's weird. You know, I preached through the whole message, went home, went and saw my son the next day. He was working in Wayzata Bank at that time. And I went and saw him, and I thought, well, you know what? This is kind of weird. I think I better go to the doctor and check this out. So I drove myself to the eye doctor, and she said, you have a detached retina. If you would have waited much longer, you probably would be totally blind. And thank God for doctors, and I had to go through that whole thing. But I'm just saying that to say we have abused ourselves. In the name of faith, yes. Not facing our symptoms, not facing reality, calling those things that be not as though they were. We take one scripture and we build doctrines on it. People haven't taken their children to the doctor thinking, well, you know, if my son's going to be healed if I have faith. That is not faith. Our faith is to be in him, and not in ourself or what we do or what we don't do. If I don't go to the doctor, then that means I have faith. No, it doesn't. So we've all come up through this, but nobody wants to admit, you know what, we've been taught wrong, because you know what, when you're taught wrong, you have to face yourself, you have to repent, you have to turn around and say, where did this come in? Where did this start? So and then you don't want to touch the anointed. You don't want to touch any of your favorite preachers, right? Because Lord, behold, you'll be cursed. Something could happen. You could be blown off the face of the earth. But no one wants to talk about the stupid fruit that's all around, that nobody's getting results, and they keep on confessing, and they keep on giving, and all these things have been promised to them, but the fruit doesn't happen. So what happens? Multitudes have left churches. Multitude have backslid because they thought that this was the gospel. But guess what? That wasn't the gospel. This was the New Apostolic Reformation. Back then, it wasn't called that, but we're going to see that this is not new, and this is still among us, and guess what? It's not going away. So out went reality, living in the real world because there's sin and evil in the world, and in came unreality, driven by the lie of positive thinking, with Robert Schuller, Norman Vincent Peale, a 33-degree Freemason. A lot of this positive thinking, law of attraction. Oh, that's law of attraction. That's not what we believe. No, it's very close. And if you do studies on it, you'll say, wow, this came from the New Thought. This came from Quimby. This came into the Word of Faith, and now it's also moving into the New Apostolic Reformation, which means there's new apostles, and there's new apostles, and there's new prophets. And you stick around long enough, and they'll tell you you're a prophet. You're a prophet. You just have to go to my school or pay $149 a month and you can be a prophet too. It might be a little bit cheaper than that now, I don't know, or more expensive. In came trips to heaven. Yes, we even had a practical teaching on how to visit heaven from the comfort of our own chair. In reality, this was no more than a phony visualization exercise. You're visualizing. You're visualizing you're leaving your body. You're visualizing you're going up to the third heaven. You're visualizing. Guess what? You're in your own head. You haven't gone anywhere. You're still in your chair, and you're an idiot. That's what happens to us. That's what happens to us when we believe these kind of things. We're visualizing, oh yeah. And then when you come down from that experience, they can't tell you that you didn't go there because it was your trip. And then comes delusion. Okay, I'm not going to go through that. But they always say God's doing a new thing. So he wanted to renounce Christianity. He got so discouraged, and this man did lose his wife. One of these new apostles came in and apostolized his wife and stole her from him. And he ended up getting divorced. And then this other lady, Maria, she's from the United States, but she started checking all these great preachers, and they are great orators, with the Word of God. And she started to see, this isn't the Bible. They've added on. And guess what? It's very dangerous to add on. You know, and boy, you know, we think we're in the spirit now, but remember the real word and the spirit agree. Well, we came in thinking it was the word, but then we had new apostles leading us, and what did we do? We started reading their books. And we started quoting them rather than the Bible. We knew what all those prophets and apostles said. And little by little, we started getting away from the Bible. And even going to their meetings, we thought, oh, get rid of preaching the word. I want to see what's going to happen. I want to see the show. I want to see what's going to happen. Are they going to knock people out? Are they going to get drunk tonight? Right? And we got captivated into the signs and the wonders part of it, thinking we were all following God. In 1940, it was called the Latter Rain Movement, founded by Dr. Peter Wagner. He has now died, but this is made up of thousands of networks. I went on my research. I started studying the networks of all these. You have no idea how global this is, how many different networks. Most preachers do not even have a clue. If they're a little time preacher, they have no idea what's happening worldwide. It's made up of thousands of networks of churches around the world. Most leaders don't even know this exists. Their core beliefs and agenda is apostles and prophets now lead the movements with new revelation to establish a physical kingdom of God on earth. Okay, now remember, Jesus said that his kingdom is not of this world. He's coming. When he comes, he's going to bring his kingdom. We're born again, but this movement is to make this world seven mountains, you got to influence all these different areas, and then you make this kingdom on earth. And until we make it, we dominionize this world, seven mountain it, whatever you do, Jesus can't come back. You know what it does? It puts all of it on us. But guess what? The God we have, you're not going to control him. He's going to come back when he wants to come back. Just like you got saved, he drew you. Thank God for that. So at the core of this movement, and people are going to bring this back, remember this name, William Branham, because when I got saved, the preachers that we listened to talked about, well, yeah, he got off in the end. William Branham is the father of the Latter Rain movement, and I've taught on this before. He attributes his and gives credit to his signs and wonders to his angel. Now, right there, that should be a red flag. Because the Bible says in the end times, God's going to speak to us through Jesus Christ, through the Word, not through an angel. Well, these angels, in Galatians 1:8 says, you know, we're not supposed to be listening to angels, right? So his teachings, some of the basic teachings of William Branham, he said there's three forms of God's Word. The Bible, the Zodiac, and the pyramids. Where's that? Do we check this guy out and say, well, do you think he's got a little occultism in his background? Then he taught on the serpent seed doctrine that suggests that Eve had sexual intercourse, intimacy with the serpent, and that's how Cain was born? Hello? That is not the Bible. That is adding to, right? Remember what God says about add-ons. He's not into remodeling. This is it. He said his Bible is, that's it. This is a quote from William Branham. Satan used this creature to get himself into the human race. The Trinity and church denominations, William Branham said, are of the devil. His angel taught him he was Elijah before the second coming, and he was a messenger of the last church age. Everyone say deception. And now this is what these movements are based on, is a William Branham, the signs and wonders, and boy, we haven't seen the supernatural since William Branham. And they're trying to rebring his name back up, and in these schools you have to study him. That a super race known as Joel's Army would reach immortality. In other words, they don't tell you this, but they believe as you keep the supermen. I remember one of the mentors I had has talked about the new breed. The superhumans are coming. What does that mean? This is part of the latter rain teaching, that they don't even believe they're going to get so perfect. Some of them believe they aren't even going to die. But they don't tell you this. It's all in their doctrines. In 1990, the latter rain came with another name. They changed it. Because it didn't go over so good. The Assemblies of God renounced it, didn't want anything to do with it. But one thing that they messed up on, the latter rain, is it didn't go to the next generation. And it missed the kids. So they're going to come back now, and what are they going to do? Go for the youth. Our youth are the targets. Now this latter rain and all these movements have, and now remember, they're going to dovetail into the New Age, and it's coming into a global church. Remember, we're still talking about the New World Order, which is going to have a one world religion. This has to happen, unfortunately. God told us it's going to happen. The more you know about it, the more, first you get stressed out. You're like, oh my goodness, I've been a part of this. Then you get deceived. Then you repent. Then you get full circle. You go back to getting saved, going back to loving the Bible. Repent for following men. Repent for following the apostles and the prophets that say that they have new revelation. This has been going on since I've been saved in the 70s. They share a lot of the common beliefs of the New Age. Transformation of the world. The Seven Mountains Mandate. How they're going to, you have to get into politics. You have to get into this or that and the other. The church has to be reformed. They're changing the church. They're saying the church that we know it of is dead. So now it has to be reformed. The need for new revelation. The value of mysticism. mysticism, having encounters. We're going to come to church and we're going to have, through our music, you're going to each have your encounter with God. And we talked about this last week, how it's all becoming, Jesus is your lover. He's your boyfriend. You know, he's going to hug you. He's going to put his arms around you. He can't put his arms around you. He's a spirit. That's why he's given us his word, right? So this is all emotionalism, and it makes us feel like we're having an encounter, and we've started to worship our worship. He said the value of mysticism, then there's going to be a shifting, and we're going to have experience over doctrine. Because now it's more important that you have your own experience and what the Bible says, because after all, we have new prophets now. They're more enlightened. Remember, to be an apostle, you had to have seen Jesus back in the day. So they're saying that they're more important than, of course, they will very much double speak this. One time they'll say one thing and the next time they'll say another. The Bible talks to them that they're going to wax worse and worse. So the more scripture they bring in, the more we can we sit back and think we can relax. We can trust this guy, right? He knows his Bible. Well, I want you to know the devil used the Bible on Jesus. So it's taking it out of context is very dangerous. But the devil uses the Bible. Then he talks a lot about being a new breed. And some of us in our movements, we said, yeah, the new breed, Joel's Army. Yeah, this is all part of the new apostolic reformation. Now in John 18:36, he says, my kingdom is not of this world. The new apostolic reformation, all it is bringing heaven to earth. They're saying how it's going to be so glorious and how we're going to invade every aspect of life. And let me tell you, they have some of the best preachers in the world. I've listened to some of them, and if I wouldn't have known this, I mean, they are so eloquent speaking, but guess what? It's deception. My kingdom is not of this world. So they're preaching kingdom now. The kingdom is now. Now, now, now. Guess what? Jesus said, my kingdom's going to come. And when he comes, he's bringing his kingdom with him. This world is going to be burnt up. But they're saying, save the earth. Save the planet. And there's some things we should do, you know what I'm saying? But this is worshiping the creature rather than the creator. So this is kingdom now theology. And it's very confusing because I remember sitting next to a lady that just had lost her husband, and one of these kingdom now preachers was in our church, and he talked about how there wasn't any heaven. And I'm like, she goes, well, where'd my husband go then? I'm like, oh no, I can't believe this guy's preaching this. Well-known preacher. He's actually dead now. Died in a plane crash. But he was a kingdom now. Dominionism is a seven mountain mandate. Now, if you hear your preacher preaching on the seven mountains, you know what you need to do? You need to be getting a red flag, go to confront him, or leave. Because many of these preachers are bringing out these doctrines now in these last times, because you're going to find out that they really were new apostolic all along. They believe the church under its apostles and prophets bring the kingdom of heaven down to earth. It's not coming down to earth. You can have all the trips you want and say you went. You're just tripping. You don't even need to trip now on acid. You can just go to church and trip. It's sad. Establish a one unified global church that will transform society. They want oneness. They want unity with everyone. And thank God, God gets people saved out of every place. You know, we believe, some of us, we got saved here, but we come out. We were like, they're kind of talking to dead people, and they're praying to dead saints, and that's not scriptural, you know that? And what if I prayed to the wrong dead guy? What if I need to pray to the other dead guy? No offense, but it's not scriptural. They want to establish a one unified global church that will transform society. So now we've got the social justices. This is all part of the kingdom now. They take dominion over the earth, that Jesus remains as a head, and now here's what they say, and your body on earth will crush your enemies. No, Jesus already said it's finished. He doesn't need his body to do anything but to be light, to share and preach the gospel. We preach the word, right? Well, they're talking about that this their body, you are not going back to rescue, rapture, or save the body. or save. The body will not be a beautiful bride until she has accomplished this crushing of Satan. So it's saying that the bride has to do it. The Seven Mountain Mandate is a way to penetrate, influence, and dominate the institutions of family, government, education, arts and entertainment, media, business, and religion. Then the kingdom will be set up on earth and Jesus can return. No, he can return whenever he wants to. The occult and the New Age emphasis. This new apostolic reformation has the occult in it. They emphasize experiences with angels. And if you're not having an experience with an angel, there's something wrong with you. This is how subtle it is, but what are they doing? Emphasizing experiences. And it's making flakes. People are weird. I remember they emphasize experiences with angels, demons, visions, hidden knowledge, which is what? Gnosticism. Traveling through portals and gates into the third heaven. Contemplative prayer, quantum mysticism, and schools are offered to train people how to prophesy, have visions, and experience soul travel. Now see, Peter Wagnon wrote, and I quote this because a lot of people don't and they won't believe that this is really their doctrine, but this is what he said. And I quote, "I suggest that it may be possible to receive selected but valid information from the world of darkness itself." We're talking about the occult here, okay? Certain people, such as shamans, witch doctors, practitioners of Eastern religion, New Age gurus, or professors of the occult in university faculties, are the kind of people who have much more extensive knowledge of the spirit world than most Christians have. I'm still quoting. Some of the information they furnish is accurate. Many of them are not only intelligent, but they are also sincere people of integrity. Another one of the New Apostolic Reformation guys, Jonathan Welton, adds, quote, "I have found throughout Scripture at least 75, now look at how they use Scripture. So if you're a young believer, you go, wow, that's really a spiritual person because they really know their Bible. They have 75 accounts of Scripture. He said, "I have found out throughout Scripture at least 75 examples of things that the New Age has counterfeited, such as having a spirit guide, trances, meditation, auras, power objects, clairvoyance, and clairaudience," that's being able to hear spiritual messages, "and more. They actually belong to the church." Guess what? I don't want a spirit guide. Why? I have the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's going to tell us. He's going to tell us what we need to know. He's going to enlighten scriptures. He's going to open our eyes to truth and to error, to deception. You don't need no spirit guide. Spirit guides are demons that people actually can yield to them, and they type through their fingers. They've written books. It's called Doctrines of Demons. Napoleon Hill and his Think and Grow Rich, he gives all the credit to Think and Grow Rich to his spirit guide. I preached this once at a church, and all these people got mad at me because that was their sacred cow. You don't touch Napoleon Hill. And I'm like, who is he? Why are they so upset by that? Well, that's one of the books that we make everyone read for this business. Well, I'm sorry, but he got all of his revelation from a spirit guide, and he tells you himself that he got it from a spirit guide. Guess what that is? It is the occult. You know what? We got to lay down some of these sacred cows and find out the truth. I've all had to do it. You've all had to do it. Lay down your favorite preachers. I don't even listen to Christian television anymore because they're brainwashing you through these televangelists, and the world sits and laughs. You know, we've got relatives that say, "Are you part of that? Are you part of that prosperity gospel where all the preachers grow rich and they suck all the money off these poor widows?" Even the world knows that that's wrong. He's saying now that these spirit guides, all this power, clairvoyance, he says they actually belong to the church. But they only have been stolen and cleverly repackaged. Guess what that is? Why would you follow someone that tells you the occult is repackaged and we need to get back to what the occult is telling us? Galatians 1:8, an angel from heaven, or if anybody else teaches another gospel, what? Don't receive it. Don't receive it. This is adding to. Another thing that the New Apostolic does is grave sucking. What's that? Anointings and mantles can be obtained by lying on graves of famous dead faith healers. Isaiah 8, verse 19 says, they consult the dead on behalf of the living. They're dead. Hello? They visit heaven on a daily basis. They are dead saints waiting to greet us, they say, and give us instructions. We don't get our instructions from dead saints. Now, these prophets are telling us, we did this for about a year, followed some of these prophets, and they were saying, wow, this guy, Abraham came and gave us a message, and he went to heaven, and he talked to David, and he talked to these. Well, he's a prophet. He's a new prophet with revelation. Well, then when you find out in Deuteronomy 18, I believe it is, you're not supposed to consult the dead. So why would God tell you he's sending you a dead person when he's already given us the Bible? He's telling us what we don't even know what's in there yet. We haven't even studied the scriptures to know what's there yet, or we'd know we're not to be consulting the dead. We're not to go lay on Amy McPherson's dead grave and suck up her anointing and get a rush. All you're going to get is emotional nothing. Visit heaven on a daily basis. Yeah, Deuteronomy 18, verse 9 through 14. Luke 16, 19 through 27. Read that. We're not to be doing these. But one thing I like in the midst of all this, Jude 1, 24. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling. God is able to keep us from falling, because when these false teachers bring in these doctrines, you'll say, that's not what my Bible says. But if you don't take these sermons and compare them to what's going on, you're going to think, well, I just trust that person. I trust that. I used to be the most gullible person in the world. If someone told me something, I just believed them. Now I'm becoming a skeptic. I don't believe them. I'm like, I got to go test that out myself. Why? I've been deceived enough to know I was honest and sincere, but I was sincerely wrong. And I didn't want to touch the anointed. We'd have Bible studies, some of us, and I said, I don't even want to touch this preacher. We've always thought that this was from God and that his revelations were from God. I was like, I don't want to go in this by myself. I don't want to, because we were so trained that you don't come against this prophet. You don't come against their visions. You don't come against, but that was all brainwashing. So we wouldn't study to show ourselves approved. And now some of us have lived long enough and just said, the fruit of these movements is bad. The preachers are full of lust. The preachers are mean. They don't love people. They're cultish preachers that have popularity. We had this one preacher come to our church back in the day, and he was so arrogant. You know, you really have some prized cargo on your hands. I'm like, who do you think? They think they're so entitled. They're narcissists, a lot of them. But a true shepherd, I'm thinking another guy just said, I haven't met a pastor like you. Very humble, loved the Lord, loved people. Totally a different spirit. One is entitled, and the other one's here serving people with the heart of Jesus. And this is the other thing. These movements teach pride. These movements teach arrogance. They don't teach humility, submission to the Lord. They don't teach on being picking up your cross, and maybe times are going to get hard, but you're going to stay at that job till God releases you. You're not entitled because of who. I'm a king. I'm a king's kid. That's all such wrong, false fruit. It's bad fruit. Who wants to eat that kind of fruit? You arrogant, you're full of lust. All you talk is about is the latest car you have, the latest chandeliers you have, the latest mansion. That's bad fruit. But God says he's going to keep us. If your heart is to not be deceived and you start praying and seeking the Lord, guess what? He is going to bring you out. Now, and that doesn't mean you're going to be popular. But here's another lie. We believe that we'd be famous and popular in this life. Guess what? If Jesus were here in person, I don't think he'd be on television. I don't think they'd let him on. They wouldn't let him on. It's like, you know, you got to be exciting. You're just telling us that persecution, trouble's happening. You got to lay your life down. You got to do this or that. We don't want to hear that. We want to hear about our dreams. We want to talk about success. We want to talk about how famous we're going to be. Guess what? We've believed a different gospel and a different Jesus. Okay, and I'm getting ready to close. You got to do your own research in this hour. If you've been in these movements as long as I have, you're going to have to study. We got to study our way out. And there's this research. I saw this today, and I just told Tim to copy this for me. It's called Berean Research. Guard yourself in steadfast truth. The New Apostolic Reformation. It's a dominionist movement. It's for the global church. This is where the whole worldwide system is going. It's going into mysticism. It's going into the occult. But it had to start with the words of your mouth. It had to start somewhere, that your little gods, that got so much persecution, now they're pretending they aren't preaching that. Some of that's getting covered up. But if you go back to some of the old messages, you'll see they stated right on television, oh yeah, you are a little god. You are gods. Well, then you have to have power in your words. Then now you're going into mysticism, so you got to have these encounters. You see, it's got to grow. And what's happening is the older people are seeing it, so they're leaving these churches. But the young ones are so hungry for the supernatural, they're getting sucked in, like vacuumed in. Just, wow, that sounds so good. So you got to study it. And if you're a parent, if you're a pastor, whatever, you got to study this on your own. You've got to know, because this is all over the television. It's all over in the big churches. Some of them teach some of it, and some don't teach all of it, but they kind of, you know, are bringing it in little by little. But because I have a lot of friends all over the world, they're telling me these churches are the big churches in Sweden, in different other countries. And if you come against them, they're also in, is it Croatia? Some of these places, you are going to be sued if you even come against and you expose some of these teachings. So this is coming to a total, thank God for the window we have now. How long will we be able to do this? I don't know. But this is coming against the global church of the New World One Religion. So study to show yourself approved. If you're a pastor or a parent or you've got kids, sit down and teach them this. Some of my kids don't want to hear that. They've been raised up in all these other movements. They think this is negative. Don't be negative. We've been taught to be positive. Well, who taught that? Norman Vincent Peale, 33-degree Freemason. Robert Schuller brought it all in. What? Law of Attraction. Oprah Winfrey brought it in. All these, now you can see birds of a feather flock together. Who's on television with her? What preachers are on television with her? Study it out. Realize they're preaching the same thing. The Bible says we're not going to be loved in this world. We're going to be hated and despised. But anyway, this is a Berean research, and it says, guard yourself in steadfast truth. And the facts, and then in this thing, why I want you to get this, it names all of the new apostolic preachers. You are going to be shocked at whose names are on these lists. And yes, a lot of your famous preachers. It's known as Dominionism, Third Wave, Latter Rain, Kingdom Now, Joel's Army, Manifested Sons of God, Charismatic Renewal, Charismania. It's steeped in mysticism. Basically, you're going to hear about the apostles. You're going to hear about the word kingdom, the kingdom, destiny, revival. Revival on a massive scale is key in this movement. The Bible doesn't say there's going to be a massive revival. It says there's going to be an apostasy. The great falling away is happening now in the name of revival and movements. All scripture verses about an end times falling away are ignored, and they are replaced with hyped up claims about the next big thing that's always just around the corner. I'm so sick of those carrots of just around the corner. Of course, give me $1,000, Rick, and you can have it. So it goes against scripture. But you will be surprised. I want you to get this. Berean Research, guard yourself in steadfast truth, the New Apostolic Reformation, the NAR. And go find out if your famous preacher's on there. Because this world's not going to promote the real Jesus. This world is going to promote the false Jesus. And God says he's able to keep us. Aren't you glad? I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful we got delivered out of these movements. It took me years and years and years to get in them. And now I'm finding it's taking years and years and years to get out of them. Why? Because we have to repent, turn around, and say, I'm sorry for following men. I thought it was your apostle, Lord. He told me he saw you. He told me that he was the next new thing. It's called deception. But we're coming out, aren't we? I see some smiles and some happy faces. Father, we thank you. Your word is truth. You said you've spoken to us today, not through apostles and prophets, but through your word. Give us a love for Scripture. Because in these movements, it's put down. Scripture is boring. Oh, you got to have a new revelation. Bring us back to the love of your truth. That everything we see and hear, we test it with Scripture. That is our safety. That is our safety net. And you said you'd keep us. And we thank you for keeping us. Everyone said?